Now, friends, as we get underway here in the book of Nehemiah, I want to, again, talk about the writer of the book, the one whose story is told here. And we find that this man, Nehemiah, a friend of Ezra's and a companion of his, and also the other half of him, Nehemiah was a layman. Ezra was a priest. And in the book of Ezra, as we went through it, the emphasis was upon the rebuilding of the temple. Now, in the book of Nehemiah, the emphasis is upon the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. In Ezra, we have the religious aspect of the return. In Nehemiah, we have the political aspect of the return. And Ezra is a fine representative of the priest and scribe. Nehemiah is a noble representative of the businessman. Nehemiah had an important office at the court of the powerful Persian king Artaxerxes, but his heart was with God's people and God's program in Jerusalem. And the personal note here is the chief characteristic of this book, and it's certainly one that we do not want to miss as we get into this very wonderful little book of Nehemiah. I find myself coming to this book again and again and again because of the fact that it is the kind of book that it is. And I'm sure that it's going to be a great blessing to many of us. Now, I think another word that we should emphasize is this. Chronologically, this is the last of the historical book. That is, we'll go no farther in the history of these people in the Old Testament than right here. We have come to the end of the line as far as time is concerned. The Old Testament goes no further as far as the clock or the calendar is concerned. The book of Ezra picks up the thread of the story about 70 years after 2 Chronicles. The 70 years captivity is over, and a remnant returns to the land of Israel. The return under Ezra took place about 50 years after Zerubbabel. Nehemiah returns about 15 years after Ezra. Now, these figures, of course, are approximate, and they're just given to show you the stages in the history of Israel after the captivity. Now, this enables us to see how the 70 weeks of Daniel begin with the book of Nehemiah and not with Ezra. Daniel said, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem under Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. Now, the background of the events of Nehemiah is the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. That's in Daniel 9:25. Now, we find here, if you want dates, the decree of Cyrus was given in 536 B.C. That is recorded in Ezra 1 and the first four verses. And then the decree of Artaxerxes was given in 445 B.C., that is, it was the 20th year of his reign. That's here in the second chapter of Nehemiah, the first 8 verses. So that the first 7 weeks end in 397 B.C., that's Malachi. And then we find that you could just mark out that period of time till the Messiah came. And they should have been waiting on the front doorstep of that inn, waiting for the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had pinned it down just that much detail. Now, this man, Ezra, you find that he was a priest, and we see it through his eyes. Now, Nehemiah's the layman, we see it through his eyes. These people, having taken the gold cure in Babylon, you see, for 500 years, God had warned his people through the prophets the inevitable result of turning to idols. And they transgressed until finally there was no remedy. And then God sent them into captivity in Babylon. Now, Babylon was the home and mother of idolatry. And the nation Israel got enough of idols in Babylon. And after they learned the lesson, God permitted them to return to the land. And as we've said, there were three separate deportations which returned to the land. Zerubbabel led the first. He's the prince. That's the political side. Then Ezra, he is the priest. And then here's Nehemiah the layman. The king, the priest, the prophet failed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and cleanse the temple. And God raised up a man that we designate a layman. And I think, frankly, it's an unfortunate distinction today. Talk about the clergy and the layman. One's half or the other. We need both, and we don't need that distinction. I started out in the ministry wearing a Prince Albert coat and a wing collar, and I had a derby hat. Oh, my friends, I was frightful looking. When I came out Sunday morning and looked over the pulpit, that white collar and that white shirt, it looked like a mule looking over a whitewash fence. It just wasn't pretty at all. And then one day, as a young preacher came to me, I'm no different than that man sitting down there in the pew. So I took off all that garb, and I wear what the other men wear. I don't wear my sideburns long, and I don't let my hair grow too long. And I'm not an extremist, but I dress like the layman dressed. I was playing golf. Well, there were four of us playing, a foursome. And two of these men had invited a friend, and he was an officer in a church. And so he didn't know I was coming, apparently. They introduced him to me, and he said, "Oh, my. Not a McGee's here." Said, "Now we're going to have to watch our language." Well, you know what I did? I called his hand in a hurry. I said, "Now listen, brother, I'm no different than you are. Now, if you want to cuss, you cuss, if that's the way you do things. But let's understand one thing. Whether I'm here or you here or anybody's here, God hears. God hears your language. It doesn't make any difference whether I hear it or not." You see, that's a false distinction that's been made today. A layman, though, rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and he cleansed the temple. And I believe that even in this day, God can and will raise up a layman to do a great work and put his work on a sure foundation, and it needs rebuilding today. I'm looking, actually, to God raising up a young man who will not be a product of our seminaries. I haven't any objection to that, but I think that as Moody was not a product, and actually Billy Sunday was not, and certainly Billy Graham's not a product of a seminary. But these are men God raises up from time to time. I'm no prophet, but at least we need laymen like Nehemiah. Now I want you to look at this loyal layman. And there are two things in this book that impress us. One is the little word "so." It occurs 32 times, and it denotes a man of action and few words. And I'm going to call attention to the little word when we come to it again and again and again. And he was that kind of a man. And the two familiar expressions was "so." That means he believed in watching and working. And then he believed in praying. Watch and pray, or work and pray. They are the two words that are very important to this man. Now, he had a good job in Susa, the capital of Persia. He had a government job. He was a cupbearer to the king. And he could have remained in Susa, a good, honest, and moral man. But he would never have been in the record of God or used of God. And I want you to notice some of the things that mark this man out as we now get acquainted with him. And I want to introduce you to Nehemiah, a loyal layman.